Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed the parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So there is joy in finding what was lost. Great joy in finding what was lost. And this is what we see in the readings of today. The first reading, God finds Israel. Israel was at the point of getting lost. They began to worship the molten calf. They began to follow false God. And God himself got angry at them. I wanted to annihilate them. But Moses intervened and God relented. So God rediscovered his love and his mercy for the people of Israel at the time because Moses interceded. And then in the second reading, Paul describes himself as a sinner, a blasphemer, who by the grace of God was recovered, was rediscovered, was rescued. So Paul says, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated." That is the key word, mercifully treated. By the grace of God, by his compassion, I have been mercifully treated. So Paul presents his personal story, his encounter here, and uses that story to present to us that his conversion was as a result of God's mercy. God who searches, God who never gives up, God who doesn't give up on us. In the gospel, we have three parables that Jesus presents before us. We took the short version of the gospel, but there are three of them. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son, the prodigal father, actually. So, but each of these presents us with the immensity of God's love as he searches out. The patience in waiting and the compassion in searching are significant in each of these parables. So like the shepherd who searches for the one lost sheep, or the woman who searches for her lost coin, Jesus' mission is to search for lost people because God loves and cares for souls, and God wants us to share in his divine love and in his divine life. That is why God never gives up. So the joy of finding each of these items is significant. And the beatific image presented here or captured here is also important because it gives us an anticipation of the triumphant joy in heaven. Christ says, I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. That is an offer, a big offer, and a big invitation as well to realize how much God loves humanity. So the beauty of these stories in these parables also help us to see how Jesus communicates. Jesus uses images that are relatable, things that we can connect with, to present God's love, God's mercy, God's compassion before us. Familiar image, the image of the lost sheep, is simple for us to connect with. The image of the lost coin, the image of the lost son. So the owners of these items and the father of the lost son all search in desperation. Each demonstrates great compassion and the joy that goes with recovery of the lost. In fact, there's a Greek word that is used here to explain this commitment towards this search. That Greek word is splagnizomai. What does that mean? That splagnizomai means to be moved in the depths of one's being, to be moved completely in the depths of one's being. So moved with compassion means you are moved completely in the depths of your being. That is, it touches you in the heart. This loss touches the owner, either the lost coin or the sheep or the son. Each of these losses go to touch at the heart of the relationship which these individuals have with what was lost. And the response of the father for his son's request to have his share of the property and his subsequent reaction to receiving him back after squandering his money teach us lessons about human freedom. If you go home today, I would like you to read that Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. The entire passage is from verse 1 to 32. And reflect a little more on the reaction of this father when the prodigal son asked the father to share the property and give him his own portion. And he departs. And after so long time, he comes back. Just sit with the reaction of this father. Think about it. Human freedom. God allows us to use our freedom to make choices. Sometimes we make silly choices. Sometimes we make choices that you look back and you're like, really? Did I do that? Right? Some of them we made long ago. Some of them we still make them. Yet, God waits patiently and watches. So whatever we decide to do is love for us. And that is why when you go out into the world, there are people doing different things. Some of them, you look at them and you're like, are these really human beings? And some of them, you're like, wow, people can really be crazy. People do things. So why do these things happen? And God keeps quiet. God gives us chance, gives us opportunities to use our human freedom. And that is why when this prodigal son departs and eventually comes back, the father does not even ask him questions. Where are you going to? He just shares and gives him what he thinks belongs to him. He comes back and the father does not even ask him what he does with the money that is given to him. But the important message here is that God loves the return. God loves us when we come back to our senses. This young man comes back to his senses and makes a confession and says, I will leave this place and go back to the Father. This is God's interest. This is God's care. This is where God wants us to really understand that he waits and he gives us opportunities to do what? To return to him back. If you think about losses, you think about St. Anthony of Padua, right? Everyone loves St. Anthony of Padua because we call on him when we lose items. We all love St. Anthony of Padua. So no matter what item we lose or we gain, we ask for his intercession. It is when we lose items that you know that people pray to St. Anthony of Padua, even those who do not pray. Right? No matter what it is, remote control, you call on St. Anthony of Padua. Your key holder, you remember St. Anthony of Padua. Just think about it. If we lose little things, I have this older lady that I go to visit. There was a time that she lost her hearing aid. Oh, I didn't rest. Like she was calling me every 5 minutes, she would call and say, please call on St. Anthony of Padua to pray for me. Call on St. Anthony of Padua. So it tells you about the pain of experiencing loss. The loss of an item can keep you restless, can make you to like look for a way of finding it. When you lose something, you are kind of wired to forgetting what you have because you want to search for that which you have lost. And not until you find it, you will not let St. Anthony of Padua rest either. So that is how we are wired. So that this shepherd leaves the 99 to search for this one that was lost. That this woman leaves the 9 coins to search for the 1 coin that she lost. That this father goes in search of this son tells us about the connection that God has for us. Importantly, how God searches for sinners. So the message in these parables is for us to experience the strength of God's love, especially for sinners. God's word to the prophet Ezekiel is, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, that the wicked should turn from their evil way and live. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. So God wants the sinner to come back to him. God wants everyone to be saved. That's the reason why Christ came into this world, that all may be saved and come to the knowledge of God's truth. So here we see some images which kind of demonstrate how sin messes us up. Sin messes us up. Sin messes us up and takes away the richness of God's love in our lives. Sin takes off that fine robe, the fine robe. This young man was dressed again with the finest robe. That finest robe was taken off of him when he departed. The father brought ring and put the ring back on his finger. That ring was taken off from him when he departed. That ring is the ring of consent, acceptance of God's love in his life. That robe is the robe we receive at baptism of God's love. This young man was knocked off his sandals, and the father brought back the sandals. The sandal is a sign of God's protection, God carrying him and protecting him from the mess, from the dirt in his life. Sin excludes us from the banquet. This young man had to be restored back to the banquet. The father asked them to kill the fattened calf. The fattened calf prepares us for the feast of the blessed Eucharist, that is the lamb sacrificed for us. So this foreshadows the sacrament that we are invited to participate in. It's not just a parable that is out there. It's a parable that communicates what Christ has come to do for us. Offered himself in sacrifice for us, searching for us constantly, and giving us himself to become our food. So sin exposes us to numerous dangers and takes away the richness that God has given to us. So sin makes us starve. We starve of God's love when we are in sin. The prodigal son felt it when he went away. and became a beggar. He became a beggar somewhere, whereas abundance flows in his father's house. I'm sure we've been listening to this story from fourth grade to fifth grade in school, right? Most of us, we've heard this story over and over and over and over again at our first Eucharist. That's mostly the story that we hear, and we hear that. But how does that connect to us? That's the question. What does this story mean for you? How does it speak to you? What images of the Father do you have? And how much have you experienced the Father's love in your life? Are you aware of the compelling nature of his presence even when you are in a state of sin? From time to time, we hear the question whether God is giving up on us. People call me from time to time and say, Father Vin, it's a lot. Is God giving up on me? Is God giving up on me? Because there's something you're struggling with. Is God giving up on me? That's the question. God never gives up on you. God never gives up on his own, because he loves his own to the end. It does not matter how far you have gone or how weak you consider yourself to be. What matters is to understand the strength of God's love in your life. And it is because of this wisdom that the church presents to us and gives us the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of coming back to God's own house to partake in that banquet. In this sacrament, the finest robe is put on the sinner. In this sacrament, the ring of love is put on your finger. In this sacrament, the fattened calf is slaughtered on your behalf and prepares you to participate in this great banquet that is the Blessed Eucharist. I was reading this beautiful exhortation by Archbishop Fulton Sheen on the sacrament of reconciliation. And here is what the Archbishop says about this sacrament. He says, God in his great mercy has instituted the sacrament by which the sins committed after baptism may be remitted. No human being would ever have thought of this sacrament of reconciliation, for it is something like a resurrection. Something like a resurrection. We rise after we are dead. It is a journey back again to God. It enables us to get rid of infections before they become chronic diseases and epidemics. The sacrament of reconciliation is the inflowing of God's mercy, an opportunity for the increase of grace of Calvary. It is a medicine of the soul, the healing of our wounds, a homecoming, an undoing of the past, an opportunity to get a fresh start in life, another birth, a kind of secondary baptism. This is great. So, my dear friends, if you ask me where this joy of both returning and of finding what was lost begins, I will tell you it starts at that moment when you step into the confessional. The moment you step into that confessional and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, the angels explode. They explode in happiness, in joy for you. That moment, the heavens begin to rejoice on your behalf. At that moment, the saints begin to sing for you. At that moment, the Father declares a party. That is what this Father does in this reading. And that is what God does. Once you step into the confessional, God says, let the party begin. This, my child, was lost, now is found. This, my child, was dead to sin, now he's back to life. It doesn't matter what the older brother thinks of you. What matters is that God is calling you. So let's get back to our senses and return to him in this great sacrament of reconciliation. Amen.
Amen.